Good morning.
Good morning.
It is so good to see everybody today. And what a blessing it is to be alive, to be in God's house. All righty, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 28, starting in verse 1. And I'd like to ask you to stand as I read from God's Word. Today we're looking at the power that raised Christ from the dead. Now after the Sabbath, as it began to dawn, toward the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to look at the grave. And behold, a severe earthquake had occurred, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled away the stone and sat upon it. And his appearance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. The guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who has been crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, just as he said, 'Come see the place where he was lying.' Go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and behold, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." And they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to report it to his disciples. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, oh, it's so exciting to read this, Lord, out of your word, that Jesus is alive and risen from the dead. And today and every day of life, Father, we celebrate this and rejoice in it. And we thank you, God, that our names, that us Christian people, our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and we have a home in heaven waiting for us because of what Jesus did. And Father, as I preach this message today, let every word, God, come from you and nothing from my thoughts or my flesh, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now I'm going to take a whole different approach with this sermon today. You know, as children, we were taught that when Jesus rose from the dead, that Jesus rolled back the stone and he walked out, and the guards and everybody, you know, they fell in fear in front of him. But I just read to you from the book of Matthew, chapter 28, starting there in the second verse. It says that an angel came and rolled back the stone. Now, I was always told, though, as a child, that Jesus rolled back the stone, and for years I believe that. And one thing I always liked in the Gospels, the book of Matthew has got the best account of Jesus' resurrection, because he talks about the angel coming down mightily in power. Now, the tomb had been sealed, and you already know that a big rock had been rolled to the entrance of the tomb, and that rock had been sealed. And the might, it took an army of men to get a large stone rolled in front of that tomb. But here's what I firmly believe happened at the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I believe that Jesus, when he rose from the dead, I believe he walked out of the tomb, because when the stone was rolled away, the tomb was already empty, meaning Jesus was not there. I believe that Jesus came out of the tomb at a time when nobody would know he was coming out. And I believe that because Jesus, in the account where Jesus appeared to the disciples, Jesus came through the wall. Jesus came to them and stood in the midst of the room, because the upper room was locked. So I believe that Jesus came out of that tomb before the stone was rolled away. And we know that God's power is what raised him from the dead. If you go back to the beginning of time and look at the start of the world, the Bible says that God created the heavens and the earth. And when you look at that, it takes somebody of great power to do such a feat. Now, it doesn't say that God waved his hands or anything like that, but when God created everything into existence, how did he do it? God spoke it into existence. God said, "Let there be light," and it happened. So whenever God spoke things, things happened and things occurred. And Jesus himself said that the time was coming. He told his disciples that he would be arrested, that he would be tried, that he would be nailed to a cross. And even though he spoke with great power and great authority, they did not believe him. And when Jesus told them that he would be raised again from the dead, they still did not believe him. But Jesus, on this account, had risen from the dead. The angel rolled back the stone, and he told Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, "Jesus is not here. He has risen. Go and tell his disciples what you have seen." So they were invited into the tomb to look and see that the place where Jesus laid was now empty. One thing I like about the resurrection, and I want to mention just something real quick. When Jesus' body was wrapped in the linens, they put a cloth over his face. And there's a significance to that. When they walked into the tomb, they found the cloth, the napkin, neatly folded and laid aside. And here's the meaning that that has. Back in the days of the Bible, when a master was eating dinner, if he was completely done with his dinner, he would discard of his napkin in a certain way. But if the master was not done, he would neatly fold the napkin and lay it aside as a sign that he would be returning. So I want you to think about this. The napkin over Jesus' face holds a lot of significance because it was folded neatly and it was laid aside from the burial clothes that he had been wrapped in. And that napkin folded to the side, Jesus has given us the sign, and he is telling us in a mighty way that he is not done, that he is coming back again. So the power of God is what rose Jesus from the dead, and Jesus is no longer in that tomb. And yet today, so many Christian people... Let me back up real quick. When Jesus was crucified, you know what the disciples did immediately, a lot of them? They went and they hid because they were afraid at the time of Jesus' arrest and trial and crucifixion that the same consequences were going to happen to them. They were afraid that Jesus' fate would come upon them, and they ran in fear. They lost hope. Anyway, they just lost hope. So they go and lock themselves up in this upper room, and they're up there in fear, wondering if the guards are coming. Now, when two of the disciples went down to the tomb and saw that it was empty, they came back to tell the others. And the others still did not believe that Jesus had risen. And today, in this very age that we live in, there are so many people today who do not believe that Jesus ever lived. They do not believe that Jesus ever died on the cross. And they do not believe that he was ever raised from the dead. The Bible teaches us that after the executioners crucified Jesus, his body was placed in a solid rock tomb, covered with spices, wrapped in strips of linen cloth, and the stone that was put in front of there, they estimated weighed about 2 tons. Does anybody know how many pounds is in 1 ton? Right. 2,000 pounds in 1 ton. That's a 4,000 pound rock. Now, I want to tell you something. Yesterday, I was having the fight of my life with a groundhog. And he's been tearing up my yard around the shed. He's been digging under my shed and going, well, I went out around the tree. Yeah, we're getting ready to have a tree cut down. And we got these big old rocks, and they're just about so big around. And I want to tell you something. Now I'm 55 years old. I'm aged and a little slower than I used to be, a little weaker. But I picked me up 4 of them rocks, and I held them up against me like that. And I walked from the front yard to the back of our acre by the shed, and I was about plumb wore out from just 4 of them little rocks. They felt pretty heavy. But here we've got a 2-ton rock that, like I told you, a bunch of men had to place in front of it. And who moved that rock? The power of God. An angel came down, and it was the power of God that rolled back that stone. And you know what we need in this world today? We need the power of God to open eyes. We need the power of God to penetrate people's hearts. And we need the power of God to make people believers. And how are we going to do that? It starts right here within this Christian body. It starts within the walls of this church, of the ones who know Christ. See, the power that raised Jesus from the dead is alive in us. And that power has made us a great witness. That power has given us a boldness to make us, we are a peculiar people. But I don't see a whole lot of people telling others about Jesus because they're afraid what others might say about them or what they're going to think. Well, you know what? When I look at my choices of spending eternity in heaven with Jesus in a peaceful place or an eternity in hell where fear and torment and burning in fire never ends, it's forever, eternity. It means it never goes away. And after the great white throne judgment, those who didn't believe will be cast into that lake of fire where the beast and the false prophet are, and the devil himself will bow at the feet of Jesus and proclaim him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, when I look at that situation, I immediately know that I do not care what others think about me and what I do for the Lord. I don't. If I'm out telling people about Jesus, I don't care if they look at me like my bricks aren't laid straight. Because you know what? The people of the world do not understand. But what we as Christians need to do is to show them the love of Christ, tell them what God done for them, share with them the resurrection, that Jesus is alive and Jesus is coming back. If we would share that love with them, then what a difference it would make in that person's life, and you would see more and more people getting saved. But we have gotten complacent to the point that I wonder how many Christians ever think about the resurrection on a day-to-day basis. How important is it? It's very important to me, because without that, I wouldn't have heaven for my eternal home. And like I said earlier, I don't know what kind of a place we would be in right now without Jesus. But when I come to church, I love to have fellowship with everybody here. But when I come to church, it's about Jesus. It's about serving Him. It is being filled and empowered because I know that there's a brand new day. There's a brand new week coming up, and I've got a mission to do, And like I said weeks ago, that mission has never changed. We are called to be fishers of men, nothing more, nothing less. And the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is the same power that's alive in us and will give us what we need to go and tell somebody and share with them the good news that Jesus still saves today. That cross means a lot. Now, there's a lot of people who will say, well, you know, I've never been saved because I've heard of so many different ways I have to get saved. Well, let's go back and look at the cross scenario for a moment. There's three crosses. Jesus is in the middle, and on both sides there's two thieves. One thief is mocking Jesus, and the other thief, here's what he says to Jesus. This is all he said. He said, Lord, today when you enter your kingdom, will you remember me? You know what Jesus said to him? Today you will be with me in paradise. Now what I want you to know from that thief didn't come to an altar. He didn't say a sinner's prayer. He didn't have to go through all these steps. He didn't have to go to a new beginner's class. He didn't have to jump over hurdles. He didn't have to do anything extraordinary. You know what he had to do? He had to have faith. He had to believe that Jesus was the Son of God, and he had to receive him. That's all he had to do. And a thief hanging on the cross was converted right there, hanging on those three nails like Jesus was. And the moment he died, he joined Jesus for all of eternity in heaven. And today we have Christian people who make it so hard and so difficult, and it's not. All you have to do is believe. Believe upon Jesus that God sent him, that he was born of a virgin, and you have to ask him to come in your heart and you believe on him. And the Bible says you'll be saved. Jesus even told Nicodemus that in order to be born again, it wasn't a natural childbirth. It was to be born of by the Spirit. Jesus said that he was the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by him. So you know what? There's a lot of people out there who think they're going to get to heaven by their good looks or their works, or they're just going to distort the gospel in any way that they can, and they're going to try to find other ways to get to heaven. But Jesus said he's the only way. You have to come to Jesus. There's no other way. And you know how you know that you got that love? You know how you know you're a child of God? Because the love is at work inside of you, and you want to share it with people. See, that's what Easter's all about. We should be excited today. We should not walk around with a frown on our face. We shouldn't look like somebody came and took our best friend or stole our package of Oreo cookies and our jug of milk. You know, now that'd be some reasons to frown, but when Jesus is alive, that should be every reason that we are excited. You know what really excited me yesterday? I got a text from Laura saying, well, I texted her, said, I want to check, you know, just check and make sure Effie's okay, because we tried to call three or four times, and I had in my heart, man, maybe she's back in the hospital. And I want to say this, I love this lady. I love her, and so does Janine. And I think a lot of her, because she's a matriarch. She is a pioneer of the gospel. So is a lot of other people. I'm not trying to lift up Effie just above everyone. I'm not trying. But I just want to tell you this. Laura texted me back. I said, I just want to check on you. I hadn't been able to get a hold of her. And Laura said, she's doing great. She's at home mowing the yard. And you know what I did? Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I was excited because the Lord touched her. The Lord healed her. See, a few weeks ago, she was supposed to have had a procedure done. And they couldn't get in because the airway was too small, I believe. Wasn't that it? Okay. Make sure I got I'm chasing the right rabbit down the trail. And Effie was disheartened, and I could see why. Because she wanted that procedure done then. But I remember when we were sitting in the house that night talking, and Patty was there, and me and Janine was there. We was all sitting around talking, and we just said, you know what? God has us all in control. He has a reason why this didn't take place, and He's going to do it. And then Laura texted me the other day and said, well, I had to take Aunt Effie to the hospital, and boy, I was just like, oh, no, you know. But then I thought, you know what? No, Lord, You're in control of this. You are in control. Nobody else. And she said, Aunt Effie's having the procedure today. And I called I texted Janine right away. Start praying because Effie's going to have the cardioversion done today. And Janine says, I'm praying right now. And I bowed my head where I was and I started praying. And I believed by the power of God that she was going to be just fine. And I rejoiced and thanked the Lord for that. And when I got that report, when I got the report the other day that she was home and that she was mowing her yard, the first report I got that Laura said, Aunt Effie's home and she's sleeping, she's resting, she's getting what she needs. Said she finally slept. And I was like, praise God for that. And then when I heard she was mowing the yard yesterday, I rejoiced. Janine and I both rejoiced. And we were so excited because we watched the power of God that raised Jesus from the dead, the same power touched her and healed her body. I am here to tell you this morning, as a witness myself, what God has done inside of me, He has done inside the lives of other people. And He is willing to do it with anybody else that will come to Him and say, Lord, I need You as my Savior. See, if you don't accept Jesus, you're not going to heaven. It's that plain and simple. And I'm not trying to be hateful by saying that, but I'm not going to give you no sugarcoating. I'm not going to give you no sweetness from this pulpit. So, if you're looking for that, I'll just say this, go find a church that preaches sweetness, because I don't. I preach to you the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you don't accept Him, you're not going to heaven, and it's your fault, your choice, not mine, not anybody else's. It's that flat, straight, simple, forward. People are saying, I've got all the time in the world. No, you don't. You have no idea when you're going to pass. I keep seeing more and more obituaries of young people dying. I don't know what's happening, but all I hope is and pray is that they've known Jesus before they died. Because you know what? When you die and leave that body, it's too late. If you've never accepted Him, it's too late. And that's why Jesus spoke what He did about His resurrection. He came and did what He did because He loved you and I. He doesn't want anybody to go to hell. That's why He suffered on the cross and cried out to His Father and said, my God, why hast Thou forsaken Me? God's only Son is actually feeling separation from the Father. How many times have we as Christians felt that? I want you to know that even though it may feel like the Father has turned His back on you, He has not. It's when God wants us to draw closer to Him and draw from that power. Draw from Him because He has a never-ending supply of it. And He wants to settle within you and He wants to make your life whole again. He wants to give you a peace that passes all understanding. He wants to write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life, but you've got to make the choice. You've got to take the step. And if you've got family members that don't know Jesus, I'm telling you this morning, now is the time to tell them. Now, don't wait. Pray for them. Go in boldness and share the word. Invite people to come to church. See, God's in control of everything. We are not to worry about one single thing about this life. Now, I had something got on my mind this morning about 3 o'clock, and what did I do? I got up and sat in the chair and had that one thing on my mind. I wasn't worried about it. I just had it on my mind, putting too much into it, trying to figure it out. Not worrying, just trying to figure a solution. And you know what I did? After sitting there for 45 minutes, I thought, well, Dingleberry, why don't you go to bed and give it to the Lord and go get some sleep? And that's exactly what I did. Give it to the Lord, and I went back to bed and slept. See, the Lord wants to work in your life. The Lord wants to work within this church. We got to let Him. We have to let that power that raised Jesus from the dead operate inside of us and make a difference. But you know what the sad thing is? There's a lot of Christians today who are still living like Jesus is in the tomb. It's almost like Christians have taken their life and put it in the tomb and put the rock back over the door and said, I don't want nothing more to do with it. And that's sad. And it's happening everywhere. That's why I pray all the time, God, send us revival. Because that's the kind of preacher I am. I'm a preacher of the gospel. I am a preacher that will preach salvation. If I preach the same thing every Sunday, salvation, then so be it. Somebody needs to hear it.